Mary's womb and John and Elizabeth's. The babies make it effective from within to the advantage of their mothers, who, by a double miracle, prophesy under the inspiration of their children. A phrase that I'm using more than ever now in lectures: Mary, the mother of miracles. And she began working miracles already when she visited her kinswoman Elizabeth. In fact, God worked a miracle for Elizabeth to provide Mary with the reasonable grounds for believing that she, Mary, a virgin, could conceive, because the angel told her, "Your kinswoman Elizabeth, first of all, sterile to begin with, way beyond childbearing years, and she conceives, all in preparation for Mary." Mary was a miracle worker before Christ was conceived. And her greatest miracles, hear it, are not miracles just in the body. They are miracles of grace in the soul. That's why I said what I did when I spoke, remember? Was it a week ago Saturday at the Rosary Congress? The pro-death movement, abortion will be stopped only through miracles to be worked, of course, by Christ, but through His mother, Mary. The infant leaped. The mother was filled with the Spirit. The mother was not filled before the Son, but after the Son was filled with the Holy Spirit, He filled His mother too. It all came from Christ in Mary's womb. What then are we being told? We're being told two things: that both Jesus and John the Baptist are already truly human before birth, and that the unborn Jesus was already sanctifying the unborn John in his mother's womb. And over the years, how many mothers and mothers-to-be I have told, "You are teaching your baby from the moment you conceive." Child is being educated in the womb. Someday I might publish at least a paperback, "Education in the Womb." '93. Is it wrong to hasten the death of those in old age? See what the Pope is doing. He's shifting from the unborn children now to those in old age. Yes. Already in the Old Testament, true believers never sought to be delivered from old age and his burden. On the contrary, they prayed, for example, "You, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me till I proclaim your might to all the generations to come." And this, as we know now, is becoming, among unbelieving people, a grave crisis. the average lifespan to every American. This is statistics. 28 years to the life expectancy of every American from 1900 to 1990. 28 years more. And that is why when I hear the word somebody saying, I've just retired, I scream inside and I want to scream on the outside. Never, never say you are retired. Nobody retires. Retires from what? That's a political and economic term coined by those who don't believe what we believe in. In other words, as a person becomes older, hear it, they grow in intelligence. Did you know that? The body may be somewhat weaker. So what? The body is going to die and rot anyhow. So. In other words, that prayer is, of course, an important prayer because we are living in a society, and I've said this more than once. Is there any medical doctor in class today? Well, over the years, having been accepted for the medical school before I entered the Jesuits, it was to prove that I was making a free choice when I entered religious life. I know the medical profession. I think I've told you this. I am told all medical books now being used as texts in medical schools distinguish on how to care for those under 60 and those over 60. Under 60, the medical profession is now being trained to keep the people alive. Over 60, the medical profession is being trained to help the people die, to phase them out. And when the doctors tell me, Father, you contradict our medical books, I know exactly what they're saying. Oh, how many classes we could have on the blessings of what we call old age. Read some of the passages, especially in the Old Testament, of learning from the wisdom of those who have lived a long life. Number 94, how should we face the inevitable decline of life? And by the way, when do we decline in life? When? The moment we are conceived and born. I like St. Augustine's phrase, what shall I call man's life on earth? Is it a living death of a dying life? You're all dying. Did you know that? Except some people are more conscious of the fact and others keep it out of their minds. I'm told property around and near cemeteries, even in exclusive parts of a city, the cost is lower because so many people do not want to. Oh no, not having my house across the street from a cemetery. Back to the question, how should we face the decline, inevitable decline of life? We should face the decline of life with complete trust in God. We should recognize that we are not masters of our life, nor are we masters of our death. Masters of our life. How many of you were asked whether you wanted to be conceived and born? Anybody? And I mean this. I'm not sure what we have to be more generous in surrendering ourselves to the hand of God, whether it is harder to surrender our lives to God than we are on earth. Lord, why did you make me? Lord, why did you? Or surrender ourselves to inevitable death. We must surrender ourselves completely to the good pleasure of the Most High. We must believe in God's loving plan until He calls us into eternity. Everything in our lives is part of God's plan. You mean that bum that cheated me? Father, you cannot mean that character that I met last night, the foulest language I've ever heard in my life. You mean that cursing scoundrel is part of God's plan in my life? Yes. And the more scoundrels God puts into our lives, my friends, let's be honest, the more work we've got to convert these scoundrels. And remember, too, I think we've said in one of our homilies, the great gift that God sends us in putting difficult people into our lives is the blessed opportunity we have to expiate our sins and punishment here in this life. And now don't tell you wives your husband, or husbands your wives, dear, finally I can see it. Now I can see it. God put you into my life so my purgatory will be shorter. We need to suffer. We need it. We don't have to call people up. Would you please, strange question you might say, would you please insult me over the telephone? Mabel, are you out of your mind? Oh, people are so generous in providing us with so many opportunities. And I think I should say this, and the most painful people in our lives are those whom we love the most. I can prove it. Let's see. Your schedule says we go to 3 what? 225. 225. Please?
225.
Did you say 245? 225. Oh my goodness. Why didn't somebody stop me? No, that's me. Pardon me. What is now, what's the correct time in Detroit, Michigan? What is it? Oh, gosh. This is a good watch, I know it is. So we go till what time, you say?
2:45?
So we're already over time, aren't we?
2:25.
Give about 10 minutes. 2:25? Yes. 2:25. Let's keep going then. 95. How should we face the sickness and disability in our lives? We should face these experiences with a complete trust in the Lord and renew our faith in God's loving wisdom. If I didn't believe that, I would have been long ago 6 foot underground or permanently institutionalized in a mental asylum. When our hope of good health seems to fade, especially we are to be sustained, then especially we are to be sustained by an unshakable faith in God's life-giving power. But hear it. Oh, how we need to hear this, and nobody needs to hear it more than me. You've got two kinds of life, a life of the body and a life of the soul. The life of the body gets weaker and all sickness is a prelude to death. But we have another life, and hear it, and I'm talking from experience. There is no more effective way of growing in the life of our soul than by suffering in our bodies. I didn't read that in books. God sends us weakness, illness, disease, disablement, you name it, in our bodies, so that our souls might grow in that life. Illness must never drive a person to despair or try to end his life. I cannot tell you my 48 plus years in the priesthood how many people I've kept alive. Christ, of course, kept them alive, but my encouraging them, please, please accept your suffering. This is a great blessing. There's another life in you and your souls. And how many people I've asked to offer their sufferings for me. And I really believe those who over the years he'll offer sometimes an agonizing pain for this sinner. The graces have been especially effective in my work in the priesthood. A woman would call me up, and I was living in New York. She lived in Newark. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Father, please tell me I can take my life. I can't bear it anymore. Dying of terminal cancer and no relief for the pain. Offer that pain for me, I asked her. And she did. And I cannot tell you how grateful I was when I visited her shortly before she actually died. There is no greater gift we can give anyone than offering our suffering for someone who is in need. In need spiritually, and we patiently and lovingly and even gratefully is an adverb you probably never hear. Gratefully, gratefully accepting the pain from God for yourself, of course, but especially for others. And that, hear it, is the highest imitation of Jesus Christ. Did Christ suffer? He sure did. Did Christ have to suffer for his own sins? Absolutely no. Why did Christ suffer? For other people's sins, for our sins. We believe there is a life beyond our mortal stay here on earth. We look forward to an everlasting life in heaven. And hear it. There are two kinds of joy that we should experience. The joy of present satisfaction, of present desires. Someone is grateful for what we've done for them. That gives us joy. We undertake some difficult task. Thank God we succeed. We are happy. But there's another joy. And this is not the joy of present satisfactions fulfilled. This is the joy of anticipated satisfactions fulfilled. In other words, there is such a thing as the joy or the happiness of a hope. Well, then we've got to draw on our faith. As I believe in a life after death, the more I know about heaven, the more I believe awaits me in eternity. The more happy I will be to suffer, watch it, to suffer here and now. Not because I'm going to be rewarded here and now, but my faith in God and my hope in His promises are so strong, I'm happy now over the joy I will have in eternity. And that is real. Go through the eight Beatitudes. The eighth Beatitude, the hardest of all eight. Blessed are you, says our Lord, when men persecute you, calumniate you, and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Period. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be, just the tense, will be great in heaven. I mean what I am saying. The eighth beatitude has kept me sane. You don't teach what I've been trying to teach over the years. You don't write what I've been trying to write over the years without making enemies. And enemies in places and in sources you'd never expect. Like I told you, my Jesuit brother at Georgetown University, over 4 years, never once, not once, said one word to me. But either we believe there's a life after death, when not just the eighth, all seven Beatitudes, but especially the eighth, will be fulfilled. Don't we look forward to, say, the joys that we're going to experience, don't we? You parents, don't children look forward to Christmas, what they're going to get for Christmas? Or you make a reservation. What time is it? Yeah, Mike? See if I got this straight. 2:23. Is that right time?
That's right.
Have we were finished at what time?
2:25.
Please?
2:25.
2:25. I've got 2 minutes. Thanks for reminding me. God has provided us not only with joys here on earth, but with the promise of joys hereafter. When the teacher will never go over time in class. And nobody will fall asleep during a lecture. Both lives are important, but the life of the soul is incomparably greater than the life of the body. And with this, I will close. The deepest joy is not in the body. The deepest joy is in the soul. And this is the way we define the joy of the soul. The joy of the soul is a satisfaction which the human will experiences in doing the will of God. If everybody believed that, that would be the end of the psychiatric profession. The world teaches people you get joy from doing whose will? Your own will. And my clock says, now this is no longer daylight saving time, right? 2:25. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary, cause of our joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, 15 minutes standard time, okay?